And there we go.
Okay. Apologies, it's going to be a little bit repetitive, but can you explain how you two came together for this project for Disney?
Yeah, we were recruited into a rock band, not knowing who was in it. And one day we all found out that it was Dave Barry, Stephen King, Amy Tan, Barbara Kingsolver, and me.
And Robert Fulghum.
And Robert Fulghum at the time.
And Roy Blunt Jr.
And Roy Blunt Jr. and Matt Groening and a couple other people that we won't mention. And
Ray Charles, for example.
No,
and we are lying now.
Who's making this long?
Beethoven.
Okay, go ahead.
Finish it off.
Then we got together, and the idea is it would be a band of authors with musical talent. It would raise money for charity. The flaw in the plan was none of us had any musical talent, but we liked it, and we kept playing. We became buddies.
Then one day I was reading Peter Pan to my daughter, Paige, and she was 5, and she put her hand across the book and said, "Dad, how did Peter meet Captain Hook in the first place?" And that's how we ended up writing together.
But we didn't really think it was going to be a long series of books. We thought we were going to write one book, maybe.
Small book.
Yeah. And if you had told me then that we were going to write all these books and 5 years later we'd still be writing these books, I would have laughed in your face.
Including illustrated books and smaller books. And I mean, it's crazy. It must be 7 or 8 books now.
Yeah.
How did this become so phenomenally successful as to extend into...
Kid readers. I mean, we really attribute it to J.K. Rowling and the fact that she kind of blew the doors off of fun story, fun character novels for a long time.
And big, long books. Yeah. Kids like big, long books. They're not afraid of them.
For a long time, middle school books had become very serious. They had to have a message. They had to mean something. And she sort of said, you know, if it's just fun and a great time, look, everyone will buy it. And that enabled us to take a story like this, make it a big, fat book, and the publisher wasn't scared of it.
So, what's the future of the series?
Well, we're going to write a 5th book, probably. And after that, I don't know. We're going to keep writing together because we like it, and we like to write in kids' books. I don't know. I keep saying, we're not going to write any more Star Catchers books.
Right.
But I said that after the 3rd one, and now we're talking about a 5th one.
So. Yeah, we're learning not to say that, so we just don't know. We really think there's a 5th one now percolating around in our heads, and we'll see.
So how's the tour been going?
Well, except for Ridley, it's been great. No, we have a lot of fun to tour. It's much more fun to tour with somebody than alone. I mean,
much more fun.
We've done many tours alone, many tours, and many. You know, it just gets lonely at night, and you're kind of, oh, I have to go do this again. It don't always go. Everything doesn't always go well. The interviews aren't always great. The signings aren't always great. And it's really nice if there's just somebody else to just go, hey, that sucked, didn't it?
You know? Plus, if it's Dave Barry, you laugh at all the times we walk in and there's 3 people in the store. We can go out laughing instead of crying.
Plus, if you have Ridley along, there's somebody to make fun of.
That's needed.
Nice. So, just for a kind of random question, how do a bunch of famous authors come together to form a band?
Well, there was an organizer. It is a woman named Kathy Goldmark, and at the time she was a literary escort, media escort, which means when you're on book tour, you would come to a city, in her case, San Francisco, and that's the person who picks you up at the airport, makes sure you get to your appointments and your signings and your interviews, and gets you back to the hotel or the plane or whatever. And she's also in the music world in San Francisco. She's played in bands, and so she sort of learned over the years which authors were into music, which ones had been in bands, and she just likes to put on shows. It's just her nature. So she had this idea of putting together a band. This was in 1992 to perform at the Booksellers Convention in Anaheim, California. But it was really meant to be just a one-night thing. And it was very fortuitous that the band that came together, the people came together. We really aren't a good band, but we really liked each other a lot. I mean, the friendships that were formed in that week that we were practicing are still around.
Yeah, they've lasted 17 years. I hadn't thought of it that way, but it was a very quick bonding of friends.
And we just had so much fun, and we still are really close friends. The band stays together more as a social entity than anything else. And we would be together even if we weren't in a band together.
Yeah, that's really true.
So what instruments do you both play?
Well, I pretend to play bass guitar.
Ridley is actually a good bass player. He is seriously one of the few people in the band with actual talent and experience in a real band. Most of us, last time I played any kind of band was in college.
He's very good.
No, I'm not kidding. But anyway.
We were the only 2 people who knew that the word chord had an H in it, so we gravitated to each other.
Yeah, we're more type A in the band than most people.
Meaning, if it goes to the G chord, we try to do that. The other guy.
Yeah, I meant we just play the A chord. That's what I meant by
type A.
Okay, and for a more Cronkite-specific question, what is your biggest memory of when you won the Cronkite Award?
Well, it was really, I mean, I'm among the millions who grew up watching Walter Cronkite, and it was really a thrill. I flew out here, and Steve Doig picked me up in my hotel room and took me down and said, you know, before the award, Walter likes to talk to the person. So I went from my hotel room to the suite, and in the suite there was Walter Cronkite, and he sounded just like Walter Cronkite, and he was the nicest man in the world, and we talked for probably an hour about lots of things, about the newspaper business, but about sailing and other things. I had a great time, and I remember being a little nervous giving a talk. I didn't even think of a speech in front of all the people in front of Walter Cronkite, and I just do what I always do, which is just tell jokes, basically, but he appreciated them, it seemed to, so I had a good day, and when he died, I looked back on that and thought, wow, you know, I was lucky. I got to meet him.
So what other projects are you both working on right now?
I have a bunch of young adult books coming out this year, one in January called The Academy and one in April called Kingdom Keepers 3. And then I have a thriller coming out in August called In Harm's Way. It's been a busy year.
Sounds like it.
Yeah.
And I'm building a time machine out of a cappuccino maker. No, I'm writing another book. Yeah.
Yeah, but you are.
I am. I have a book coming out in spring. Yeah. It's a collection of humor essays that haven't appeared anywhere yet, and it's called "I'll Mature When I'm Dead."
Okay. Well, thank you. If I ask you too many more questions, I'll hate myself in the editing booth tomorrow.
It's our pleasure. Thanks.
Yeah, so,